I was like, I really could have done without, like, my whole life going without ever thinking of the fact that Ed and Lorraine have sex.
Yeah.
Like, I could have went my whole life and that would have been great.
Yeah.
But instead he was like, remember, they flirt. They're cute. I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want that for them.
I'm Ed.
And I'm Lorraine. And we're the Warrens. Talking about spooky stuff and exercising spooky stuff from your houses.
Stand outside your house and paint ghosts in them. It's like that cute TikTok trend. But like before it was cool.
Yeah, that's and how the also Warrens predatory, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. So, happy October, happy spooky month. I'm sorry, Wantober for the ghouls here. We are talking about James Wan and the many universes within the horror world that he has created. Did those things need to exist? Maybe not. You know, not all of them are winners.
Some of them are fun. Some of them are like, oh God, why? Some of them are, oh, I wish this was not happening. And some of them are good.
Some of them.
I'm like, wow, I was actually really scared the whole time. Like, I literally have been having nightmares because the horror has been doing the horror thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like ghosts in my dreams. Excellent. Love that for me.
I think, you know, there's a large imprint that James has had on the horror community and just impact on how we approach certain storytelling. And yeah, he's really just like, he starts out a film with Lee Winnell and then it kicks off into something else and they just keep going for fun, you know, it just keeps going. So we talked about Saw, which is an entire time.
The first one was cool, but then we talked about it.
Yeah.
I don't need to talk about it more.
Yeah. And I think the Conjuring is really fun for a multitude of reasons. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We have talked about the Warrens previously on the Ghouls with talking about demonologists specifically. Uh-huh. It was a very long time ago. So I don't imagine you've listened to it, and that's okay. Don't go back. We'll do it today. We'll just tell you what you need to know.
We'll do it a little bit again, like, but not exactly. Maybe we'll find out.
Well, it's nice because we did that episode back in 2019, which is like a bajillion years ago.
Yeah.
And we, since then, more Conjuring films had come out, including like spinoff from the Conjuring itself. And you know, more about the Warrens. That episode was very specifically about the Warrens, and then we were just talking about the films kind of as a benefit. We were covering certain cases that ended up being covered in the films, in like history that was covered in the films, which I think is kind of cool. There's a Ghouls for that, right? Always.
And it's like, yeah, they're pulling from this, like, they're creating this fantastical world, but like from a real humans that existed and were weird. We've talked about the Warrens like a handful of times, either on our TikTok or here. But I would say for the Conjuring specifically, he didn't necessarily like create the world of the Warrens. Like they are already out there existing, but he really like boosted them. Like so many people know more about them because of these films. Is that good? I don't know. But here we are.
More so he created the cinematic universe, right?
Yeah.
Because these are not the same Ed and Lorraine Warrens. Also the way that like James Wan has created the Ed and Lorraine Warren, that Ed and Lorraine Warren think they are.
Yeah.
Right, has created the world and the impact and the status that they thought and believed they were.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they were manipulative and preying on innocent people and, you know, using faith as a tool to do that.
Yeah.
So you know.
Yeah, he really, like, made them look real nice. Rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
What a love story, you know?
Yes. I was saying as we were watching these that I could really have done without, like, just... like, I get they, like, aged down. And then, obviously, you have, like, these attractive actors and they have this chemistry and it's really cute, this relationship. I was like, I really could have done without, like, my whole life going without ever thinking of the fact that Ed and Lorraine have sex.
Yeah.
Like, I could have went my whole life and that would have been great.
Yeah.
But then Sunny was like, remember, they flirt, they're cute. I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want that for them.
It's a weird choice because you're giving us this like platform of like this really scary scenario. Like genuinely, like the first one, genuinely scary. Yeah. Like horror stuff is happening there. It's actually very satisfying visually. Like you're getting scared. I experienced face numb at least once or twice. At least I remember the first time I watched it. That movie scared me. I thought it was a really good movie.
Yeah.
And then you get like these like weird kind of like hokey moments of the Ed and Lorraine time where it's like, I feel like if you don't know who they are, it's like fine. But once you know who they are, you're like, oh, So I don't know. Yeah. I can tell people who they were. Do we want to get right into it?
Yeah. Let's talk about Ed and Lorraine and why we feel the way that we do about them by, you know, kind of explaining one. So they, you know, have been self-identified as demonologists, which is incorrect. But also just like a lot of the practices that they have are really questionable. And I'll definitely talk about all the different cases that are covered in James's films, but also in other films that he hasn't brought into the Conjuring universe that have existed, films made about these cases with the Warrens not even in it because of just like no one wants to talk about them. And he's cornered the market on them. So let's learn about demonologists and Ed and Lorraine. What's their deal? Who are they?
Yeah, so if you've already if you're the very small percentage of humans who listen to our ghost episode, then I'm going to be repeating some information. But if more than likely, the majority of you were not here for that. So,
And it was a demonologist episode.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. I was looking at the wrong title. My bad.
No, it's all good.
Ed and Lorraine are self-proclaimed demonologists, but in the real sense of the word, they are in no way that. In the past, I had read this really long article called Demonology, a Study of What Is and What Is Not, by a skeptical inquirer, Stanley Stepanek. And he really hates Ed and Lorraine Warren specifically because of like the fact that the study of demonology is like actually a thing. And the concept that Ed and Lorraine kind of follow does not align with what it would mean to actually be a demonologist. So them saying that they are one is actually kind of rude. But he basically in the article kind of calls out the Warrens and other demon hunters calling themselves demonologists. And he strongly argues that demonology is an intense field of study. It is a real thing. People study the history of demonic belief and that's like a genuine academic. You can get a degree in it. So for them,
and it's like anthropological.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like
humans believing in demons. That's what they start like the history of like people thinking demons are real religion. You have to like know your religious lore, like not lore, like history.
Yeah. And folklore like, too. Yeah.
You have to really like understand like what drives humans to believe in these kinds of things, what religious and like societal implications led to that, and like how it's written about. So there's a lot of like academic scholarly stuff going on when it comes to this actual real study of demonic belief, and the Warrens do not prescribe to that.
By no means. It's a science. It's demonology. It's a science, which means you can't be in it, right? You can't like do anything within that realm. You're just looking and then taking it in and writing it down. And they're like, we exercise them, even though we are the demons.
You know, like we really are like the demons. We made a job out of this, and it just kind of shows like one how ignorant the Warrens were, and like just not even realizing like how problematic, I guess, like their entire shtick was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it also doesn't even like acknowledge the existence of demons. It's literally just people believe in demons.
Yeah.
Like,
so yeah, them claiming that and like kind of making that their mantle discredits and like is disrespectful to actual humans who have studied this academically and like take this super seriously. Mm-hmm. So that's all to say. Ed and Lorraine Warren are self-proclaimed, as we said. So if you want to know what real demonology is, so basically if you claim to study the history of demonic belief, you are not supposed to have your own personal belief systems, like religious and otherwise, mm-hmm. to influence and like guide your work, because that really muddies the waters. You know what I mean? It's a conflict of interest. You are claiming mm-hmm. to study this as an academic standpoint, bringing your own like personal beliefs into it is a bias and is going to skew your work to not really be a reliable source. So when he's writing about the actual study of demonology and how like kind of debunking, honestly, like their claiming that they are demonologists, he talks about how it's a serious study like science, as Gabe said, you know, educational background. If you had no educational background in chemistry, you wouldn't go around being like, I'm a chemist. Mm-hmm. Just because you like kind of like to mess with liquid and beakers and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to claim that you're a scientist when you're not. That'd be ridiculous. So since demonology is the study of demons in the history of demonic belief, if you have done none of those studies, no schooling, etc., you cannot call yourself a demonologist. And also that's not the term. So if you do study this topic academically, the history of demonic belief, you kind of claiming this religious background. So Ed and Lorraine, as we kind of see, is they're like really intense with their religious elements. They're calling the church, they're incorporating mm-hmm. all of this like Bibles and prayers. They're claiming to exorcise things, which is like just not
that's not how that works.
It's not even kind of how it works. So they, in the article, they say demonology is never a system to cure those who believe in the existence of such creatures, which in itself is a serious disregard for knowledge and an abuse of human emotions. So if we're going to talk about Insidious, it's ironic that James Wan kind of like takes these two worlds, because they have two very opposite viewpoints, in that Insidious, we'll see later, is like calling out this kind of exploitative predatory behavior of going into people who are dealing with like real problems, real mental health concerns, real like trauma that they're experiencing, and mm-hmm. like taking advantage of those emotions and like their vulnerability in those moments to get money, get clout, mm-hmm. get attention. Because these are real human beings who are going through like a serious trauma, like in these situations where they're claiming demons are involved. Like, they're going through a serious issue where like a family member is hurting or hurt, like they're hurting each other. Like the house is doing things that you don't want it to, like they're going through a lot, and to take advantage of that emotional state is gross. So.
And that's what they did all the time. That's all they did.
Lorraine Warren specifically claimed to be a trance medium. And Ed was kind of like, through circumstance, he grew up in a haunted house, is what he claimed. And that basically that really influenced him to believe in ghosts. When he was little, he saw like an old woman in his closet. He saw like faces in his house when he was growing up. He like really believed in haunted stuff. And then Lorraine, like, weirdly enough, like at first it was claimed that like she was a begrudging medium, mostly because like people probably made fun of her for claiming that she saw ghosts and what have you. But
neither. I think she very conveniently became a medium mm-hmm. when they got into this whole business. When Ed yeah. started showing up to people's houses and being like, you got ghosts in there and we can stop, like we can do something about it, she was all of a sudden qualified. She now had the ability to talk to them.
Yeah, it's all just like really convenient. So as I said, Ed grew up in a supposed haunted house in Connecticut where everyone is haunted. And he would go, he used to think like it would be a logical reason for it. But once they kind of met each other and they got into it, this is where it gets complicated. So Ed and Lorraine met when they were 16 years old. We actually see this in the film and it's kind of like they try to make it really cute. Where they meet mm-hmm. like at the movie theater and they get ice cream and it's like all precious and everyone's like, oh, I love that for them. Love that they're in love. And that's actually the real story of how they met. But essentially after they had gotten together, a thing that they would do is Ed would paint. And it's really creepy. So this thing that he would do is he would stand outside people's houses and paint them with ghosts inside. As I said, like the TikTok trend, and Lorraine would like creepily walk up to the house and be like, hey, I got this like gift for you. Yeah. This really beautiful painting of your house with like scary things in it. Have you been experiencing any scary things? And that would like open the gateway of them like being like, oh, how did you know? Oh my goodness. Yes, I have been experiencing these scary things and like planting the seed, I guess. And they would take advantage of that emotion and kind of like claim that they had this authority and they had this ability to help them in some way. And then inversely, they would sell the paintings to them as they are already invested in the situation in which something is haunted and make money off of that situation.
Honestly, so yeah. I would love a painting of someone who like was like, here are the ghosts that are in your house. I'd be like, yeah, I'll buy this.
Yeah, like as a fun, like little cute thing. Like, yeah, it's like really that. Fun and cute.
Look at my house. It has ghosts in it.
But they would do this on purpose and seek out people who they had already known were kind of dealing with something mm-hmm. or like plant the seed that they were going to be dealing with something and then they really play that up. So either way, it's super gross. And we get to see them in the movie and they're portrayed as like this super cute and helpful and loving couple. So it's just like kind of a different scenario.
So benevolent.
Yeah. And I know, Gabe, you might talk a little bit about like the real cases that happened and how like that played in. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, the ghouls aren't really a fan of the Warrens. We did like the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somewhat. Yeah. And I think two things that came to mind with that. One is that when I do talk about the cases in a minute, that not everyone is a victim in this case too. Some of them are co-conspirators. Mm-hmm. Some of them were also trying to profit off of this belief system, which again only harms those who actually believe in that. Because mm-hmm. there were families who were actively suffering, and it's kind of questionable that those are the ones that we don't see included in the Conjuring universe. Both one yeah. that was very adamant of going against Ed and Lorraine and like kind of angry about their interaction. And then the other one is one where it was revealed to be a hoax. So I think it's kind of interesting that those are the two that are not there, even though they've been incredibly documented in other spaces, whether that's in like paranormal investigation shows or they do the recreations or actual films. So I found that interesting. I also find it, I feel like James in his, you know, interactions with the Warrens, I think, I want to go so far, and I didn't really look into it, into whether or not he really like believes in these things, but I think he believes in that they believe them. Mm-hmm. And he sees, like, in talking to them as a creator myself, I can see how exciting that like is for a creator to be like, oh, and then we could do this. Like, there's a discussion of the nun, right? The nun is kind of a spinoff of the series, and that's based on like a personal ghost that Lorraine had that actually didn't look exactly like a nun, but it was a personal like dark entity that she would often see. And he just didn't want another like CGI. Like, he didn't want to create what we saw in the Paranormal Activity movie with the ghost dimension. He didn't want to create that thing. He was like, that would look stupid on camera. And instead, he wanted to create something that was like attacking and attacking Lorraine in a very specific way, which would mean twisting her faith, like using her faith against her. And what better way to do that but with a demonic nun? So I think that's great. Like, that to me is really exciting that kind of influenced it. But also, I can see ways where Insidious was influenced, because Ed, growing up in that spooky house where he was seeing like the globules, right? Like the ghost pictures, like those are mentioned in Insidious, like ghost pictures. But then also he saw like that old woman. He was haunted by that old woman. And that's like, and it's also funny that it's the same actor who's playing Ed, who's going to be playing in the Insidious movies, who is being plagued by an old woman ghost.
Yeah, you get like a lot of just across the James Wan universe nods to the Warrens, and I guess like kind of like and the inspiration that they experience through like just like there's little Easter eggs, I guess, is that's the word. Like, we're just like, oh, I see what the nod, I see you. Like, there's a nice connecting piece throughout with all of them. That's fun.
Yeah. Like, I think it's really exciting. This idea, like, when I see The Room, when they first have that first case in Conjuring, which is about Annabelle, which we had covered. There's my Annabelle, if you're watching. we covered Annabelle in our Dolls episode, another ancient old episode you do not need to unearth. I'm sure we'll talk about Dolls again in the future.
Yeah.
Uncanny Valley is super like serious and stuff here. So I'm sure we will do that again.
Yeah.
So we covered Annabelle, but that's the first introduction to her, is that first scene in Conjuring. And then they put her in the house, right? And they have that room. And
yeah, there's collected that, which is creepy things where it's like, ooh.
Yeah, which is based on like the real Warren's room full of their artifacts. And I see that room. Like, I could see James somehow catching wind. Like, you know, maybe he heard about the Haunting of Connecticut or Amityville, and he heard about the tie to the Warrens and then found them and went into that room. And you see that room and you think every one of these things has a story.
Yeah.
Right. And not even all the ones like that we know. That room was chock full of things, right? That we don't even have, like, we just have the popular cases. Like, we don't have the mundane one. It's like, what's this yo-yo for? Like, you know, like, and to go in there, and because that's the excitement I got when we were watching it, and they put her in there and they put the little sign on there, do not open.
Yeah.
And you see this room full of things. And I just think, like, this is a movie. Every single one is a movie. Opportunity, which is like $1 signs, but it's also like creativity abounds. Like, absolutely. I could see how like exciting that can be for him to take on.
Yeah.
And Lee Whannell as well, because he did collaborate. He was writing this. Yeah. So
no, there's just so many nods to like the potential. And I think that's something that's like unique to this Wantober, is that like he really does like create little connecting pieces to what could be a very vast and with so many films in this a very vast universe. They keep going and they can keep going, you know, like it really could never end if they wanted to. They could just continue on and on and on forever.
Yeah. And I will say there's like it is very distinctly this like haunting series, at least the Conjuring ones. I think Annabelle and Nun and Curse of La Llorona are they kind of take a turn into something else because they don't really have the Warrens in that same way.
Yeah.
But I think these, like, the haunting stories are very unique in the horror world. I think it's a subgenre of itself. It's something that I've always been really excited about. Like, when we covered at some point, like, ghost stories, when we did Haunted Houses, way back machine, we talked about, like, those real shows where they talk to the family and then they have the recreations, but then they also have the footage, like the photos or, you know, a real video that they took in their house. And it always, like, makes me tear up where it's like, your face goes numb when it's scary, but my face, like, I tear up if something scary is happening. but usually when I'm being tricked into, like, even though I know it's not real, subconsciously, I'm like, that could be real though. and so I really appreciate him honing into that genre and expanding on it. And you know, bringing these interesting characters each time. And you know, I do like that he established Ed and Lorraine as these characters, that are kind of this through line, but there's some things I'm just like, oh, this could have been so good. Like, what are you trying to do to me? So with the Conjuring franchise, what it is the first Conjuring film, which is about the Perrin family, and this introduces Annabelle. So then the second film in the franchise is the Annabelle film, the first one.
Yeah.
Then we have Conjuring 2, which is the Enfield case, and this introduces the nun. Because that's when Lorraine starts seeing the nun, and it's like, things are starting to get a little stressful. It also acknowledges, it's, I would say, one of my favorites, only I think it's actually really good, because it does acknowledge the Lutzes, which is the Amityville case. And kind of starts to build that stress of them being labeled as imposters, or, you know, that it's a hoax and they're profiting off of this thing. And still they, like, you know, hammer in, like, it's our fate. And then that leads into Annabelle creation. That leads into Annabelle creation, which is directed by David F. Sandberg, who we love for his short films, another way back machine. But shout out to him. I have not seen Annabelle creation. I genuinely would only watch it because he directed it. Like, I would give it a shot. We did not watch it. We were just watching the Conjuring films. We watched Annabelle when we covered it a long time ago. We did not rewatch it. I do not need to see that. Some problems scary in that film.
And also,
did we really need to kill this character?
Probably not.
Then we go into the nun because she was just introduced. And fun thing about that is that it's starring Thaisa Farmiga, which is the actress Vera Farmiga's sister. That's fun. Who plays Lorraine?
Yeah.
Then it goes into Curse of La Llorona. Again, we also already covered that laughably in our Latine representation episode with Sergio. And it was silly. What a silly, awful film that had, like, no Latine representation at all, despite taking a very Latine folkloric monster. Whatever.
Then
most recently was The Conjuring, or not most recently, there's Conjuring was The Devil Made Me Do It, which was the newer one that came out, based on Arnie Johnson, which I did cover in our first episode about it, but there was no movie for it yet. So I'm waiting for there to be a Conjuring 4 when they cover the werewolf, and I'll talk about the werewolf. I can't wait. They need to do that. And then there's a Nun 2 coming out, because why not, I guess.
Yeah.
Someone tell me how much money James Wan has.
The Nun, the answer. I remember the Nun 2 coming out because we had a mutual friend who was, like, really scared of it. And I was like, what do you mean? It's just a nun. Like, why would you be so scared of this? There was, like, a Snapchat filter for it where your face would transform into them. Like, I was just like, I don't get it. Like, sure, it's nuns are scary, silly, I guess, if they're, like, demon ghost nuns. But, like, it was weird.
I think I would watch it. I would watch it,
but it's probably silly.
There's a Nun 2 that's either coming out or has come out. I think it's out. I don't know.
Yeah, it's happened.
But there's all the, like, I remember like in the past year or two, there have been like three or more horror films about nuns.
Yeah.
And like, or like exorcisms and like something's going on with this nun. And I'm like, what is this like
obsession?
How do we get here? What is like, what's everyone's deal? Maybe this is where it started. Maybe we got infected. Maybe.
Yeah. See, he influences the whole genre. That's what we're saying.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So before I hop into specifically the ones from the films, I wanted to talk about some of the cases that weren't covered in the film. So firstly is The Haunting in Connecticut. So Ed and Lorraine are from Connecticut, and folks who are familiar with that film. So that's the one where it's like the young boy, he's sick. He has cancer, and the house that they live in used to be a funeral home.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Seances. I remember that. Yeah, okay.
Now he has all the writing on it.
Took me a second, but we got
yeah. Yeah, that's actually a really good episode. If you're watching, I'm putting like a little clip, a little like boomerang we had when Kat was possessed as a possessed housewife in that episode. That was a long
yeah,
time ago.
That was fun. I remember that.
Essentially, this was about the Snedekers, which is a family who did live in a house that used to be a funeral home that did have a sordid history of, you know, possibly experimentation on bodies. The house still had this like gross smell in it. They claim that the running water would turn red. A lot of similar, like we see a lot of the same claims that yeah. happen in each one of these haunting cases, including like, you know, vision, seeing them, just like things moving from where they should have been. There also was in this specific case, which is something we brought up in our episode, was that there was a claim. So they had a young, I think it was like their niece or something was living with them.
Oh, okay.
And she claimed to have been sexually assaulted by an entity in the house. And after watching like the real interviews with that family, like because we watched one of those like paranormal investigator shows, and it was yeah. them, and it was their that case before the movie had come out, and it really felt more like something was happening to her in that house that was real, and yeah. this was the way that she was coping with that, and the family was totally okay to accept that as being yeah. the answer. And I don't want to put words in people's mouths. I don't want to assume that, like, maybe that's the case. Maybe it isn't, right?
Yeah.
But that's what it feels like to me. And with Ed and Lorraine kind of coming in and enhancing the energies, like, that's one of the biggest things for them was, like, when Ed and Lorraine came, things got worse, is what their yeah. claim was. Like, they were coming in, talking to things, trying to rile stuff up. So if, like, ghosts are real in this situation, they did not help. Yeah. They were making it worse. And in fact, they, like, the family was, like, quick to, you know, kind of dismiss them in a way. Yeah. And the Warrens don't often, like, credit, like, get the credit for working with them. And, kind of like don't talk about it as much as all the other ones. Like, I wouldn't yeah. even know what their maybe like an embalming piece or something for their little room. I don't know. But yeah. they said it was most likely because it used to be a funeral home and that the morticians probably did some bad stuff to bodies. And they were like, that's why you're haunted.
Yeah.
Then you have the other film that is very, very famous and has been done so many times. including one with Ryan Reynolds, Amityville
oh,
Horror.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember
Amityville
him in that.
Horror. I think Amityville was a really genuinely a scary story in all the different forms that it's taken.
Yeah.
It's one of the more, like, famous ones, and not a lot of people know or had known that the Warrens were involved in that. So you had, like, the Amityville case was... There was a horrendous family murder by Ron DeFeo, who he murdered his whole family. We did a whole kind of case about it, where we talked about just how sketchy and not reliable a person Ron DeFeo is to go around and say he was possessed by any kind of thing to make him do that. He was just a bad person who murdered people. That's it. He's a murderer. And the Lutzes moved into Amityville House. They learned about that sordid history. And the rumor is, what I've read was, you know, Ed and Lorraine came over some glasses of wine. Them and the Lutzes formulated this whole idea of the hauntings that seemed very similar to the things that were shared by the Snedeker family and other families. But theirs were like really insane. They were like, the walls would bleed and there were these red eyes outside. And there was like all these, it was like insane. And then it very clearly, like the Lutzes themselves admitted that it was a hoax and that it was over wine that they were talking about it. And then there was even these veiled attempts to try to exonerate Ron DeFeo for the demonic presences in the house.
Yeah.
So really gross. And they keep doing that. They love doing that. Yeah. They love being like, hey, yeah, let's see. For the Snedeker family, there are people who were studying them and essentially like people couldn't, like what Ed and Lorraine were saying and what the family were saying didn't match up. So they didn't get their story straight. And that Ed, in an attempt to like retain their name, they were saying like their story was true and that the Snedekers, because they were trying to like say Ed and Lorraine were messing things up, were like, they're crazy. The Snedekers are crazy and they're just making stuff up. Don't believe them.
Wow.
And they're the ones going out there trying to like exonerate murderers. So
it's so messy for real.
It's so messy. It's so messy. So then we have, so in the so the first Conjuring is about the Perrin family, which almost is like pretty much on par for what actually happens. It's a, you know, a family with many girl children who experienced like spooky things. Ed and Lorraine came in, fixed it.
Yeah.
They also, the claim that like there had been witches and that like a woman had like murdered a child there and all kinds of other deaths happened were claimed by the Warrens in that space. It also has very similar like reports as all the other cases. Like ghosts are pretty basic. Demons are doing exactly the same thing every single time, apparently. The second Conjuring is about the Enfield family, which is when they go over to England and they help this family. This one I feel though really bad about, similar to the Snedekers. This was a single mom with young kids. They're, you know, kind of in a lower income. And something was going on. Like, when you look at the pictures, and I did really appreciate that they included a skeptic in this one, and that even Ed himself, when they're looking at the pictures that are just replicated from the original, like the real pictures, he's like, it just looks like she's jumping on the bed.
Yeah.
Because she does. It really does look like that. And the pictures really don't paint a good picture of what was happening.
Yeah.
But there were like the end, like the family really did claim a lot of different things, but other people did too. Like other people came into their house, like neighbors, friends, other researchers, people would come in. And this was a case where people were like genuinely like, something's up. Like this girl is talking with a different kind of voice and she's able to do it in this very unique way. Yeah, that older guy who was on the case first, and he was like the original ghost hunter, and he really believes them and would often record those sessions. But because they were like, you know, audio only, for a lot of them, people would question the validity of them. Because, you know, he has to explain why it's so remarkable. He's like, her voice isn't fried, even though she's using this like lower register that her voice should hurt by now. And it's like, okay, but maybe it does. She's young. She's pretty resilient. I think she could bounce right back up. give you some tea, you know? So that one's very interesting. Because I do feel like the family did genuinely experience something, some type of distress, and they never really got answers. It stopped happening at some point, but it was like they are still kind of laughed at and ridiculed for having experienced, like, there's sympathy for the other families, and this one didn't get that. And I think because they were like lower income. But I think what's crazy is, like, people said that she was just doing that to get, like, attention and make money and stuff. She lived in that house. That lady still lived in that house for a very long time. She never left. Either there's no ghosts and she could absolutely stay there, or there were ghosts and she can't leave. Because she didn't make any money for it. Who knows? And then we have The Devil Made Me Do It, which is... It started to get really weird, the Conjuring universe, where it starts with the exorcism of a young boy, David, who Lorraine claimed had 43 demons in his body. The real case. Lorraine was like...
So many!
So Arnie Johnson is the one who is what this case is about. It's an important case where they try to explain away the murder he'd done due to possession by a demon. He was engaged to Debbie, whose younger brother, David, was possessed by at least 20 or so demons. But as Lorraine said, 43. That's insane. Why was she driven to say that number? In a little boy. Like, what does that do? That seems crazy to me. I have it in red, so it was quoted from something. I apologize. Some of these, like, we weren't as good about citing our resources last time.
Back in the day,
But they were able to exorcise those demons, and there are, like, they do. I love that they play the tapes and they show the pictures of the family. Like, that's fun. In the actual film. But after the exorcism, David's doing all good. And then later, at a party, Arnie stabs and kills his landlord. And he's like, you know what? We just did this cool thing, this whole exorcism with my girl's brother. Maybe they can help me out.
I can get away with this murder.
Like, it's in me now. Anyone can have demons. There's 43 in there. I'm sure one was left over. Are you sure you got them all? Because I think there's a few in me, and it made me, oops, kill somebody. So they tried to do this, and of course it got, like, blood. They were like, you can't prove this. And also, like, it would absolutely, like, dismantle the justice system.
Ironic considering like how religious the justice system is based in.
But we can't say the devil made me do it. Mm-hmm. We can't do that.
But we can swear on the Bible.
We can swear on the Bible.
That we're telling the truth.
And he was able to because he had a whole trial. So what kind of demons are able to do that? Question mark.
And the film tries to explain it.
By saying it's not really a demon exactly, it's a witch. They hate witches so hard. That's when things get really crazy for me, because you could have just stuck with demons. You could have just stuck with spooky time. This could just be the Haunting in Connecticut film, which is a brilliant horror film. I think it's one of the best in the history, like the original, like Haunting in Connecticut. And instead, they go so hard into witches and them being real. Like, witches aren't real. I just want people to know that. Like, not in that way. Yeah. Right? There are Wiccans, for sure. People who, like, worship the earth and have ways that they, you know, are spiritual, right? They're not, like, the Crucible. That's not real. That's not fact. Those people weren't right. Those people weren't, like, those are witches that are dancing in the woods with the devil. That isn't real. That was made up to oppress women. They're not. Like, so for them to believe so hardcore in these evil witches who are sacrificing babies, and for what? Whenever people bring up covens and witches, I immediately am like, this is stupid now. Because that's not real. Like, I can believe in demons and I don't. I can believe in ghosts and I don't, right? I cannot. I cannot believe in witches and them having the superpower and them like selling their soul.
Wait, I think the motivation is so murky because it's like so in the film specifically, like they really play that up and then also, but like, and then she's like doing it. You know what I mean? Like the witch is murdering the people that she set out to murder. And like, for why? Because like, she doesn't get any benefit. How many people you got to murder to make the devil happy? Like, I don't understand. There's like 6 people on her list. And then she doesn't get to murder one of them. And then the devil just takes her soul. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
What were all the other souls for? How many souls do they need? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For just one benefit? I don't, it's not it's an exchange rate that makes sense. Yeah. Like, and there was no logic to any of it. It's like, I don't, why is the list what it was? It was like, you had to like get a holy man and then also like a woman and man who are in love. And it was like, why is this your list? Who cares about these? These are just random people. Like, if you want souls, take any souls. Why do you need these specific souls? It made no sense. I totally agree. It just made it, like, really stupid. And I remember, like, sitting there, like, this is the dumbest one. Why?
I agree.
And I feel like it's always, like, there's always one film that, like, you get to it and you're like, I don't understand what we're doing. And you can tell this is just the middle film where they forgot. They were like, I don't know. We just keep giving us money to make these films. And that was what Conjuring the Devil made me do. It was because it was dumb.
Yeah.
I was mad the whole time.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like the list was like the Halloween Town list when it was like the fang of a vampire and they have to go to the dentist. That's what it was like. That's what her list was like.
So weird.
Like,
so it just made it silly. It just made it super silly. Where like before, like the first Conjuring is genuinely scary. Like the whole clap game still haunts me. The hands in the closet, absolutely not. The secret passageways, genuinely scary.
Yeah.
100%. The Conjuring 2, I remember genuinely being scared that entire movie with the old man in the back. And it was just like a whole thing. It was so good. And then this third one was just stupid.
It got really blockbuster. It got really blockbuster. Yeah. And I mean, in the first one, they introduced a witch. And that, it took me out immediately. Because it was like you said, it was so spooky. It was good. It was genuine. And like, I really felt for that family. I totally believe kid. Like when the kids are like, stop farting, you know, because it smells bad in the house, you know, and then at the end,
you're so right. At the end where they bring in the witch stuff, it's stupid. I'm just like, why do we need that?
And it's the severity in which they're talking about. To them, they're like, witches again, duh, the witches, that's all I need to know.
Killing the babies for no reason,
all
no
I
benefit
to know was there
what
was
did
a
they
witch
get
here.
From it
she cursed the land because reasons, because they're just evil, right? And it's like, but demons are already
was her name
evil.
Bethesda or was it Bathsheba?
That's Shiva.
every time they said it I thought of Skyrim, and I can't.
the witch Bethesda, no, Bathsheba was her name. Oh my god! Yes,
that was good. It's the same name to me, you know.
Yeah,
honestly,
for sure. I literally laughed out loud when they were like. Like, he's like, there's a witch who lived there. And Lorraine, like, looks up and is just like, that's it?
Yeah.
That explains everything. And I was like, does it?
It's like does a really it? Elaborate game of yes and, you know? Like, one of them says something and the other's like,
okay.
Yeah, I'm picking that up. We're just going to keep rolling with it. And it's like an interpretive time that they have where they're just pitching things. And the other one's like, yeah. With my whole chest, I say, that's right. But I could have thought of that. I should have thought of it. You know, you're just so correct. And it's so dumb.
Yeah. I do appreciate the severity of those things. Right. And it makes sense that witches would be this other evil for them besides just demons, right? Because if they are, they're like the warriors of God, right? They're the ones doing the exorcisms.
And God hates witches, so.
Right? And the witches are, they're the warriors of Satan, right? Like, they're very specifically supposed to have, like, the satanic Bible. Of course they don't, because they would not be doing this. But it's just, like, I think that's why it's kind of that, again, that bastardization of their faith is a form of a witch. But I think the demons could have done that just on their own. And yeah. I the need to give us a different, like, I don't need to believe a witch brought a demon here. I think like the demons would be strong enough to do that on their own.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess they do clean it up a little bit in Insidious in that way, where the demons kind of have their own MO and like they're doing it.
They're witchless.
And it's don't need the witches. It's all, it's demon time.
so the, Arnie, and he did try. He still went to jail.
For 5 years only.
And Debbie and him still got married, and they're still married.
Yeah, still having a time. And I feel like there's, as you said, Gabe, there's not a lot of respect to, like, the real victims in these situations. Like, they did not, like, at the end, you're like, are we supposed to be happy for him?
Yeah.
Like, he murdered someone. Like, you don't see their family. You don't see any of that. You just get like, oh, I feel so bad for this boy with limited potential.
Yeah.
Want him to be free.
You know, yeah, don't put him in here. He could have done something. Yeah. I will say that the case of David Glatzel, who was the young boy with 43 demons in him, who was exorcised, his older brother, Carl, did attempt to sue Lorraine Warren and Gerald Brittle, who was the author of the true story book, The Devil in Connecticut, specifically because he claims that his family was manipulated by the Warrens, that the Warrens and Brittle had concocted this whole story about the demons to get rich and famous at their expense, and that the greatest expense being young David's mental illness, and that they were just trying to get monetary gain off of that. And that seems to be like a big case that keeps coming up for a lot of incidents, is when people come out to be like, these people came here to make money, right? They are con people, like, genuinely. And it's like and that's why it's so bizarre to me that James Wan has created the Conjuring universe, and he's created two protagonists, him and Wano, has created two protagonists based off of real people who are con people. But at the core, these are people who are coming in and preying on the vulnerable, right? They're coming in to people who probably have certain issues going on, and then, you know, aren't getting the support and things that they need, and so these people are coming in and being like, well, what can I do, right? And either they're in cahoots with them or they're falling victim to their schemes. And then he has Insidious, which we'll talk about next week, where the dad very explicitly, like you said, he calls it out for a moment. It still goes back to
these people happens.
It is you know, ghosts or whatever, but he does genuinely like try to address that, and it, like, he's almost seen as a bad guy for that. But I was like, you're so close. You're so close to the real, like, the real answer. And you still didn't get there. So, yeah. The other one that I just wanted to mention. People do say that the girls from the Enfield case were just playing pranks. Which we do see that in the film. Like, they do, the skeptic is like, I have video footage of her throwing the stuff. And then they explain that away by her saying that the ghost made her do that so they would leave. But I liked the twists in the second one. I liked that, like, this whole time we thought it was this one ghost, and then he's also trapped there. I also loved some of the techniques that they had with, like, her in the back out of focus, because they had to turn away from her. And then you kind of see her change when she becomes a guy. Like the old man. I was like, that's rad.
Like, there's a lot of cool things. There's like cool twists too. Like, you point out the twists. That happens in like all of the films, like Winella and Juan, like they both implement that, like where there's just some sort of twist. And sometimes it's fun, and other times I'm like, we didn't need it. And then other times it's like really cool. So it's fun.
Yeah, I think there's a joy that you can see come through in the filmmaking for Juan, where he gets creative. And like, there are even times, like in the later when we talk about Insidious, like he's even editing, you know, like he's in it. And I think that's really like shines through in a lot of ways, because that's what he's doing, right? He's bringing the story to life. He's not 100% responsible for pushing these stories out in that way. Somebody else did, but he was still very excited about those things. And then lastly, not covered in the franchise yet, I hope. I think they've jumped the shark with The Devil Made Me Do It. They got so silly. They got absolutely wacky. And I think they could totally do this one. So this is the famous werewolf demon case. Yeah, a werewolf demon.
Yeah, there's witches, there's werewolves. What do you mean?
Absolutely.
Of course. Vampires are next. I'm surprised they didn't come up.
Yeah, there is a case of, it's called the South End Werewolf, and it's one of the most bizarre cases, obviously, that the Warrens have ever done. And it was in Essex, England, and it's where a seemingly ordinary carpenter named William Ramsay claimed to be possessed by a demon that compelled him to take the form of a werewolf. And he says he first experiences transformation at the age of 9. And as he described it, he was outside. He had this like a cool breeze and a bad smell, like a ghost, right? Like what you would experience, or a demon. And then he just went into a full rage. He was, you know, completely, you know, no longer in control. And uprooted a fence post. He was so mad at him. And it's not that he has anger issues. It's that he's possessed by a demon werewolf. Because he also gnawed at the wire mesh. He uprooted it and then he was gnawing on the fence. Like werewolves are ones to do because they're real. But then he was fine. He was fine for most of his life. Yeah. That happened when he was 9, and then he never had any more occurrences until he was a full adult. And then he would just fly into violent bursts of rage because of the werewolves, and he'd have inhuman strength. And he'd like he'd be like, he'd like bar his teeth and like have his claws out, but it's just him. This poor man. Like, he's clearly, something is going on with this man.
Yeah.
And the Warrens are like, yeah, you should come with us to our church in Connecticut. And
oh my we'll God.
Do an exorcism. We'll do an exorcism. We'll fix you. We'll fix you.
And what happens?
That's it. That's all I know. They did an exorcism. I don't know if it worked. He didn't hurt anybody.
Well, that's good at least. Like, at least, you know, it's not like another murder case.
Yeah, he didn't Arnie Johnson him. To me, I just find the Arnie Johnson is so sus, because it's like he literally was there. They did the exorcism, and then he was like, oops, I murdered, but...
Yeah, like, oh, hey, if it's true for this kid, it's true for me, so...
I got an easy out, you know? But I think, like, so there were some things I really enjoyed about the film, like you're talking about, when we're actually just genuinely a haunted film. Yeah. The stuff I just cannot vibe with is, one, that's not how demonology works. And I get it, it's Hollywood demonology.
Yeah.
That's fine. But the problem is, like, they're exorcisms that every single time, every single film, they are like, we have to go through the proper channels. We have to, you know, call up the Vatican, show them our proof, get this, you know, priest to give the okay. And then we have to bring this person to the church to be exorcised. Like, they talk about all of the, like, quote unquote, right ways to do an exorcism. Like, there is a procedure for exorcisms.
And then
it takes a long
time.
We covered exorcisms before, both in the demonology episode and our exorcisms episode, which was more focused on like the victims of those things and how religion really is a harmful thing to happen to those folks who are very distressed, right? And in this, they do try to like do that. And then they completely forget that and do their exorcisms anyway. Like they, yeah. they label and like establish Ed as this powerful priest, and he's not. He's yeah. not. And I like, and he doesn't have the okay from the Vatican. Like it's, it absolutely undermines the religion in the first place. Like
yeah.
they, like they don't even realize that, right? But they are, like they're saying that anyone can do this. So Catholicism does not matter. We do not need to call the Vatican, because any old person who cares enough can do
yeah.
it. I also like, and that really is the crux for me, is like we can have a haunting film without it being a religious film, and we can also have a demonology film without it being a religious film.
Yeah.
But they're so religious. It's so like it feel at, like the third act, it always feels like, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Like, it feels like I've walked into, like I opened the door and the Mormons are there. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. And they, like, they it's do just like pivot. A hard left turn that it's just like, they just really lean into it. When, like, I totally agree. Like, it just kind of takes the oomph away from the film that had been, like, really scary and, like, really hyped it up. And I was, like, totally invested. And then they add that in and it just feels lazy.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't think yeah. that's the answer. And I totally get that Ed and Lorraine did, right? Like, yeah. or that's what they were telling people was the answer, right? That their faith was really strong and that's what made them as powerful as they were.
Yeah.
Right. And I just feel like in the film, it doesn't fit. Like, it feels forced and it really feels like like you're in like your youth group and it's like, you know who was a really cool guy? Jesus Christ. Like, they're trying, like, are you trying to trick me into religion, like, through this horror movie? Because that's like what their answer is. And I can't. Yeah.
I feel like, okay, like if they didn't like align themselves with Ed and Lorraine, they could have like really made the end halves of these films really cool. Like, even if it was just like slightly less drenched, like just even if they had like more creative demons or like history or lore, that would have been significantly more interesting than just like what we got in the yeah. last little 10, 20 minutes of the film where you're like, ugh, I was so happy with this and then this.
Yeah. Or if it just genuinely wasn't based on them and it wasn't based on these cases, but something its own. Like, if yeah. you have characters that you made up and you can make them into whatever you want. Because I feel like the reason why those things are so heavy is because they very much are integral to yeah. who Ed and Lorraine were. And so for yeah, James so Wan to create this, he can't make this without that. Because yeah. that's who they are. And that's the kind of selling point for it. And it just felt weird to me. And as someone who's like, growing up was very religious and having religious characters live to the end and have their faith protect them was something I really valued. This feels like a joke. Yeah. Like it really feels like a creepy Christian couple who's like trying to like convert you through this very elaborate ruse. So yeah. All that being said, I do think like at least the first two Conjuring films, and again, we're not talking about Annabelle Nun and La Llorona because they're not the Conjuring films. They're just yeah. in the same world, spinoffs, right? But the first two Conjuring films, I think generally have some really amazing cinematic moments. I think the third one, the like boys exorcism and the cool like body, that was cool. That was really yeah. stressful. And then it was not cool anymore. And then it was boring as heck. And yeah. I got so goofy. The ending is so insanely silly. It's so silly. All we have to do is break this altar. Like, how flimsy is your magic that we break yeah. your table and now everything? Like, there's so much where I'm just like, this is silly, right? Yeah. But the first two, because it felt really, the bulk of it felt honest and were like playing a bit true to some of the things that we've heard and known, and because they were also questioning Ed and Lorraine yeah. at times. I think there's some really cool parts to that. I just think when you're playing with them, you're getting messy and you're getting muddy because they themselves are not great humans. Mm-hmm. And they profited for a long time and continue to, in just like the fact that now they're immortalized in film as these characters that yeah. aren't really them. They're yeah. Hollywood versions of them who've now created the world that they thought they were living in the yeah. whole time.
Mm. Well said. Well said, Gabe.
So, and you know what? I will say, good on Vera for making Lorraine's fashion good. Like it's yeah. it's like silly fashion, but it's good. That's on
good
her.
On her. Yeah,
she can do it. She makes it look good. And
yeah, the guy who plays Ed, he made sideburns Patrick, look cool. Yeah,
Patrick Wilson. Yeah, he like. At times, I'm like, is he cute? And then I'm like, no. And I'm like, is he cute? No. And I'm like, no, I can't be saying this about Ed. I cannot. Yeah. And then I see him in Insidious, and he's not. He's not very cute in Insidious.
He's fine. Yeah, he's not, like, the most exciting.
They give Ed a swagger. Mm-hmm. Ed's got it. He's got Riz. And mm-hmm. I think that's crazy. Like, in a different way, like, Insidious, they don't have time for Riz. They don't.
Yeah.
And in fact, he's like, he's got El Riz because he's not a great husband. But yeah. in Ed and Lorraine, like, he is flirting with her and he plays the guitar and he's yeah, just so like, supportive, I take care of you, you know? I love you, and I'll listen to you.
Fully
and
present, just like he's all cute. The time.
And that's just yeah. because of being a pansexual and his personality. That's why in that film he's attractive and in another film he's not. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. there you go. And he looks the same. He looks exactly the same.
It's exactly the same.
But
yeah.
that was an education.
They cut his hair a little bit. He doesn't have as intense sideburns.
That's yeah. true. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, maybe it was a sideburns into. Game.
Never thought about it. Excellent. Well, that was our episode on The Conjuring. Tell us what your favorite Conjuring film is and if it's one of those spinoffs that we haven't watched yet. I think Annabelle's like a silly, fun situation. Mm-hmm. I would love to, like, again, I just really get excited where I'm like, what are the other things from? I yeah. want to know, like, I want someone to give me a picture of the room and then point at all this stuff and be like, this is from yeah. this is from this. And then it's also episodes. I haven't found it. I look all the time. Yeah. And then next week we're talking about Insidious, which will be really fun to talk about for a multitude of reasons. I think it's genuinely a good series, or like at least a few of the films are pretty good. And then it gets a little weird and questionable, as most franchises do. Like, when you get a yeah. series and you just keep making films just because, we're
it gets,
losing the
plot here. It gets a little messy. Yeah.
It gets a lot of like, what are we doing? So I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you're enjoying one in October. And don't get married.
They'll eat your kids. Or your kids will have 43 demons in them.
Dang.
So
dang,
many.
That's so many demons. Oops. Oops, all demons.